Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Now, while travelling around the world making shows about the natural world, Sir David Attenborough also kept an ear out for local music and recorded a lot of it. Now a double CD entitled My Field Recordings has just been released. On the line is Julian May, the BBC producer who rediscovered this archive and put the CD together. Julian, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Sean. Hello.
What kind of time period did these recordings cover?
Well, they're from about 1954 until 1963, when David Attenborough was going around the world making a series called Zoo Quest. So that was the time period.
Yeah, and so in terms of the variety of countries.
Yeah, well, it's incredible, actually. You know, he went to Sierra Leone, he went to Papua New Guinea, he went to Northern Australia, he went to Guyana in South America, he went to Paraguay, he went to Indonesia, he went to Polynesia, Tonga, Fiji, and some places like that. He went to Bali. So, you know, pretty well all over the world apart from Europe and North America.
And I suppose in most of these instances, these are people who live in communities who are performing music in those communities rather than it was in, you know, it was in the clubs or anything of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, these are very much field recordings. What he was doing was he was making these television films, and because it was to be portable in those days, they were filming on 16 mil film. And in those days, you couldn't marry up sound and the film. So they would do the filming, and then they would do voiceovers and things later. So he was collecting music that he would use as incidental music in some of these films. But mainly, he was doing it because David Attenborough, we think of him as a natural history broadcaster. He was also extraordinarily interested in traditional music, folk music from all over the place, and he was collecting it for that purpose, really, just to have it, because he was interested in this and loved the music.
And because I suppose that dates from the pre-digital era, the quality of these recordings would be very, very good.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was recording on one of the very first portable tape machine, something called the L2, which was about the size of a concrete block. I mean, it's only just portable, really, and it would run on very big torch batteries, and you actually had to rewind it by hand because they didn't want to use the electricity for such a thing. But the quality is extraordinarily good, really. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, 78s or anything like that. They're really good quality recordings. It was a top machine.
Mm. Now, as I understand it, though, a lot of these recordings, I don't know if they were lost, but perhaps no one had looked at them for a long time.
What happened? I actually was making a program with David Attenborough about a series he made very early for television called Song Hunter, and this was a series that brought traditional musicians from Britain and Ireland into the studio in Alexandra Palace very, very early on, and he was doing this with the famous collector Alan Lomax. Who had recorded Muddy Waters and
Lead Belly,
Aunt Molly Jackson, people like that, for the Library of Congress. And David Attenborough had the idea that when Alan Lomax came over here to Europe, that they should do something about the indigenous music of Britain and Ireland. And actually, they got a couple of really interesting Irish musicians in, actually. Margaret Barry, the famous traveller singer, and in order to get her, they didn't know where she was, and someone said, you need to send telegrams to the police stations in the west of Ireland saying that next time you bring Margaret Barry in, because she was always being brought in for being drunk and disorderly, there was a fee for her in here and an air ticket to London. And David told me, well, within 3 weeks, there she was, knocking on the door.
Wow, best arrest ever.
Best arrest. And there was a great one as well, the wonderful a Sligo fiddle player, Michael O'Gorman, was working as a railway porter in London, I think at Waterloo Station. And he came into the studio and he was saying, oh, you know, I've been carrying these heavy cases. I'm a bit stiff. I'm not sure my fingers would, you know, be very good. And then he picked up his fiddle and played magnificently, of course, you know, everything. So I made this program with David about this for Radio 2. And then at the very end of it, he said, then I went off to do Zoo Quest, and I made all these recordings. And I said, well, what did you do with them? And he said, well, I just put them in the BBC sound library. Some of them, he said, were used for some of the Zoo Quest films. And there was a very famous one called the Bell Bird, which he recorded in Paraguay, harp music, and that became the Sig tune. But a lot of this stuff, no one had really done anything with. So I had a look in the archive, and I found more than 60 pieces of music from all over the place credited to David Attenborough as collector. And I was just astonished by how wide-ranging it was and how wonderful the music is. I mean, I do think it is a sonic treasure, and I thought it needed to be heard. So I asked if he would like to make a radio program about it, and he said, yeah, he would. And Radio 3 put it out. So I got all the music that I could, and I sent it to David again so he could familiarize himself. And he came in and told stories to me, and I recorded him, and we played bits of music, and I wove that together and made a very nice, I think, so I say to myself, program about it. And then listeners were saying, we want to get hold of this stuff. And, you know, and eventually... the man who runs, who publishes the world music magazine Songlines, organized with a record company that we should put out these things and this two CD set. And so that's how it came about, really. Mm.
And the royalties from this album, where are they going? Obviously, I assume it's virtually impossible to track down the original artists a lot of this.
Nearly everyone will be dead, actually. I think. I mean, and a lot of it is communal singing. We don't actually know who they are, or you know, we haven't got names for all of the people. There are some of the stuff from Paraguay. That's when he met a band, and so those people, they might be getting in contact with the record company. I don't know, but nearly everyone is. Not known, because these are very much field recordings. They're not performances that were done for David. He would arrive, there would be something going on, an initiation ceremony, some kind of ritual. People were playing music. He'd just whip out his microphone and record it, and then also play it back to them so that they could hear themselves, which, of course, many people at that time never had done before.
That's quite extraordinary. And really, for him as well, because it's, you know, such a long time ago to listen to those things again and remember where he was and what he was doing at that time. Julian, thank you so much for speaking with us today. The album is called David Attenborough, My Field Recordings. It's on Across the Planet label. We'll leave you with a little bit of that.
Oh, this is a West African in Sierra Leone. Fascinating music.
While the dance had been going on, I had been recording the music on my tape recorder. This, of course, was the object of a great deal of curiosity, and I always played the recording back and let the singers listen to themselves on a little earphone. Blank astonishment was always followed by huge grins of delight.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.